This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Wal-aqibatu lil-muttaqeen wal-a'udwana ila ma'al-zalimeen wa usalli wa usallim ala ashraf al-anbiya wa mursaleen. Nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Amma ba'd. We are still covering the 40 hadith of Imam al-Nawawi. And we're still covering the hadith of Jibreel, in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was asked, "What is Islam? What is al-Iman?" And then, of course, he's asked about the signs of the Day of Judgment also. So we are actually on the fifth of the Articles of Faith. The fifth of the Articles of Faith is tu'mina billahi wal yawm al-akhir. Right, you believe in Allah, and also to believe, we mentioned to believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, believe in the prophets of and messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and also the books of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so we're also going to move on to also bil qadri khayrihi wa sharrihi, and also the predestination. And we spoke already about most of the articles of faith, with the exception of the last two. And when we are speaking about the belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we mentioned also some of the proofs and evidence for the belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when we speak about any of the other aspects of the deen, of the articles of faith, we mention also the proofs and evidences in relation to that. Right now, inshallah, we're going to move one of the arkan of aqidah, al-iman bil-yawm al-akhir. We mention al-iman bil-yawm al-akhir is the last day. Why is it the last day? Why do we call it the last day? Al-akhir means it's the end. It's the last day. The reason is because after that, there's no more days. There's no more specific days in terms of, you know, like what we have right now, day and night and so forth. It's everything like that. And when it comes to time, there's nothing, it's just forever. It's just forever. There's nothing, meaning the al-awqat al-mahduda, I mean specific times, that's the end of it, because it's the end of the dunya. The end of the dunya. And why? Because after that, there's no more night. There's no more night. There's no more sleep. You don't need to sleep. There's no more eat. There's no more in terms of going to the bathroom, and no more sickness, and any of the things that are lacking in this world. And I want to speak about this one aspect of that, and which is al-iman. Also, al-iman bil-yawm al-akhir. This is the beginning, of course, of the faith, articles of faith in terms of, you know, in terms of time-wise. But everything that we have spoken about, one very important aspect of it is al-iman bil-ghayb, the belief in the unseen. The belief in unseen. What is the belief in the unseen? And of course, everything that happens in the future is considered unseen, because you don't know. Everything that happens after death, we don't know. It's considered the unseen. But do we know what happens? We do know what happens based on what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger have told us. And so when we speak about the many of these articles of faith, it's related to the belief in al-ghayb. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts it off. A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim, alif lam mim. ذلك الكتاب لا ريب فيه هدى للمتقين الذين يؤمنون بالغيب ويقيمون الصلاة ومما رزقناهم ينفقون. The first few verses in Surah Al-Baqarah encompasses everything that we speak about in terms of the articles of faith. We say alif lam mim, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابِ, belief in the books of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the book, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says ذَلِكَ, And ذَلِكَ means actually that is the book, that. Because it's الْإِسْمُ الْإِشَارَ لِلْبَعِيدِ. It's when you're speaking to something that's far away. Now why would you mention something that's far away when it's like here in front of you? Why? Because of its elevated status. The status of the Qur'an, the elevated status of the Qur'an. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ. There's no doubt therein. There's no doubt in it. It is huda lilmuttaqin. It is guidance for the believers. So in it is guidance for the muttaqin. Those who have taqwa. Those who have taqwa are the ones who are successful in this life and the hereafter. Now who are they? Who are the muttaqun? Who are the ones who believe? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Who are the ones who are the muttaqun? Because al-muttaqun, indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, inna al-muttaqina mafaza. Indeed, the muttaqun, they are the ones who will have true success. They will be successful. So who are they? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, first thing, al-ladhina yu'minuna bil-ghayb. Al-ladhina yu'minuna بالغيب. Those who believe in the unseen. Those who believe in the الغيب is that which غابة, that which you can't, that which is not there in front of you, that you can't see. That's the with your faculty of seeing, hearing, and so forth. So when we're speaking about the unseen, part of that is the hereafter. And when we speak about the hereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions all of these things very clear in the Quran. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praises those who believe in the unseen. You haven't seen anything yet. You don't know what's coming up, but you believe. You believe. What do we believe? We believe what Allah tells us. We believe that what Allah tells us is the truth. We believe what the Prophet ﷺ has told us is the truth. What does that mean? That our faith also, when you believe in something, then you act upon it accordingly. If you don't believe in it, then you won't follow. Like, let's say somebody told you that tomorrow there will be a major earthquake in Seattle. I'm just giving the example, okay? Like, somebody told you that you know that there's going to be a major earthquake in Seattle. And nobody knows the unseen, of course. But I'm just saying that you know for sure that there's going to be, you and other people don't know. But you know that tomorrow there's going to be a major earthquake in Seattle. If you believe that there's going to be a major earthquake in Seattle tomorrow, and you don't do anything, do you really believe?
No.
No, you don't believe, right? If you really believed, you would do something. The first thing you do, right? Okay, let's go. First plane out. Where do we go? We have to leave. Take as much of your belongings as you can, right? You know, so just to, if you know this is what's going to happen, right? And you go somewhere where you feel it's going to be safe, away from that part. If you didn't believe it, then you wouldn't do anything. You're probably like, yeah, whatever. And then whether it comes or not, you don't believe it. So when you believe in something, then you act upon it. Because if you don't act upon it, then you don't really believe. Then you don't really believe. So anything that happens, so we don't know the future. We don't know the future. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. But we do know, actually, the future. In terms of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us in the Qur'an and the Sunnah. What is going to happen? We believe that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whatever he said, that we believe. So one of the most important aspects of belief, of course, belief in the hereafter, the beginning of your hereafter, of your day of judgment, is when? The day that you die. And you don't know when you're going to die. Right, you don't know when you're going to die. And that's why if you knew you were going to die tomorrow, would you act differently? Yes. Definitely. Right? If you knew that you were going to die tomorrow, you would act differently. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't tell us. We don't know when we're going to die. But everyone knows that we're going to die. And we come, the older we get, the closer we are to death. That's the certainty. That's something that everybody agrees upon. Everyone, rich or poor, young or old, in the end, they know that, everybody knows that they're going to die. Yes, some people, they don't think about it so much. So, because they think they can live longer. But those who are truthful, or those who believe in Allah subhanahu in the hereafter, they're always preparing for that day, the day that you leave this dunya. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praises those who believe in the unseen. Inna alladhina yakhshawna rabbahum bilghayb lahum maghfiratun wa ajrun kabir. Inna alladhina yakhshawna rabbahum bilghayb lahum maghfiratun wa ajrun kabir. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Inna alladhina yakhshawna rabbahum, indeed those who fear their Lord. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions here, bil ghayb. What does that mean? Some of the scholars have mentioned those who fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I mean when they're alone, when there's nobody there, they're sincere in their fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And others have mentioned otherwise, which is those who fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even though they don't know what's going to happen to them, even though they don't know the unseen, those who have the taqwa in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all the time, they're the ones who are going to have forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and a great reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So to get back to Surah Al-Baqarah at the beginning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, the reason I'm mentioning this is because these verses at the beginning cover all the articles of faith that we've been speaking about. First, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَلَذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ. And everything else in terms of belief is the unseen. Even the belief in Allah is belief in the unseen. Why? Because you don't believe, I mean you don't see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't see Allah. And nobody can see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this life. And we don't have the capacity to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this life. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed himself to the mountain, it crumbled when Prophet Musa asks to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you don't see, but you believe. You don't see, but you believe. And that's why the atheists, they say, well, how do you believe in, why do you guys believe in something that you can't see? The thing is, with everything, just like everything else, in terms of our belief, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us, and everything around us is evidence of the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so our life, the life that we live right now, is also evidence. There's so many evidences of the hereafter. Of the hereafter. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, أَلَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ وَيُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةَ. They establish prayer. وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ. And from that which we have given them, they spend. وَالَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْكَ. That those who believe in that which was revealed to you, which was revealed to also, وَمَا أُنزِلَ مِنْ قَبْلِكَ. And they also believe in that which was revealed to those before you. What's revealed before you? The prophets and messengers of before, and the books of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, also before. And then, وَبِالْآخِرَةِ هُمْ يُوقِنُونَ. And in the hereafter, they have al-iman al-yaqeen. That means they have a certainty. They have the yaqeen, meaning they believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with certainty. When they believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is with the belief of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it's not just when someone believes and they have yaqeen and they have certainty, it means that they believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they believe not just just hearsay, rumors and so forth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَلَذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ, right? And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, before that, he says what? ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ. There's no certainty therein. So their belief is based on certainty, based on yaqeen in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we mention yaqeen in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with certainty, this is the type of belief that you have no doubt in it whatsoever. And that's why one of the things that one of the names, right, of death, what comes to you is what? Al-Yaqeen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, wa'bud rabbaka hatta ya'tiyaka al-yaqeen. Worship thy Lord until the yaqeen comes to you. Worship your Lord until the certainty comes to you. What is certainty? What's the opposite of it? The opposite of certainty is doubt. Right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells them, it mentions, describes the believers. The believers are the ones who believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not only they believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they believe in the hereafter. What kind of belief do they have? The type of belief that they have is they believe so strongly, there is no doubt. And when you say La ilaha illallah, there should be no doubt in it whatsoever. There's no doubt. Because faith in Islam is based on yaqeen, based on certainty. And so when we say, when the Prophet says, قال الإيمان, إيمان is أن تؤمن بالله وملائكته وكتبه ورسله واليوم الآخر, and you believe in the last hour. وتؤمن بقدر خيره وشره. So these six things, right? So right now we're speaking about واليوم الآخر, the last day. The type of belief that we have, we believe in the hereafter, just like everyone believes that they're going to die. Everyone believes that they're going to die. There's not a single person on the face of this earth that thinks that they're going to live forever. No matter how rich they are, they might say, oh, you know, I have better, you know, I might live longer because I have better, you may, a better, maybe I have money to pay for, you know, my good doctors and so forth, right? But no matter how rich, everybody realizes that they're going to eventually die. And every single night that we go to sleep, every night that we go to sleep and we close our eyes is a sign from Allah to tell us that death is coming. Because when you go to sleep, when you look at someone who's sleeping, what does they look like? It looks like they're dead, right? They can't hear. It looks like they're dead. When somebody dies, that's what they look like. That's what they look like, right? When they die, you go like this, they can't see you. You speak, if you don't scream and yell, of course, they can't hear you. They can't hear you, right? Of course, maybe their heart is still beating and so forth, but in essence, they don't know what's going on around them. Right? And you can't describe, like sleep, just sleep in and of itself, sleep. What is sleep? How do you define sleep? Sleep is a miracle. It's all, we ourselves, we sleep all the time, but we don't understand how that works. Right? How does it all of a sudden it shuts down and what, then all you wake up? Right? What it is just like, is it's the soul, it's our soul leaves us. And then the difference between death and sleep is when you're sleeping, the soul comes back. When you're sleeping, the soul comes back. And so to believe in the hereafter is related to belief in everything that comes after death. And when you say al-iman bil-yawm al-akhir, at the beginning also we recite al-fatiha. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, and then Maliki Yawm al-Din. Malik, we say the owner, possessor of the day of judgment. Maliki Yawm al-Din. That's the hereafter, our belief in the hereafter. And every single prayer we recited to remind us that there will be life after death. Not only that, but we will be accountable for everything that we do after death. We'll be accountable for everything that we do after death. And so, we say we believe. Of course, now we're going to al-Iman. When we say that we believe in the hereafter, just like when we say we believe in the prophets and messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the books of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there are different aspects of the belief in that. So what is believing in Yawm al-Akhir? What does it entail? Number one, al-Iman biwuqu'ihi. The belief that it will happen. The belief that the Day of Judgment will happen. The belief that on the Day of Judgment that we will all be, will come out of the grave again. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ثُمَّ إِنَّكُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ تُبْعَثُونَ ثُمَّ إِنَّكُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ تُبْعَثُونَ. And then you, all of you, on the Day of Qiyamah, the day in which you rise back, you will be raised back from the death, from the dead. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also said, يُحْشَرُ النَّاسُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ حُفَاتٍ عُرَاتٍ غُرْلًا. So people will be raised up on the Day of Judgment, barefooted, naked, uncircumcised. So the belief in the Day of Judgment, we have proof in the Quran, many proofs in the Quran, because there are some who don't believe in the hereafter. There are many who don't believe in the hereafter. And there are some who believe in the hereafter, but they believe that this is the only life. Like for example, the Buddhists, what do they believe? What's their afterlife? Like you die, you become something else in the next life. That means this life continues forever. All you do is you change form. You become a cockroach. Okay, if you're a good cockroach, next time you might become a buffalo. Right? And if you're a buffalo, good buffalo, maybe you'll be a good human next time you come up and come back again. That's what believe, all conjectures. You understand? All conjectures are just made, things that are made up. So what do we believe? What aspects of this do we believe? We believe that it will happen, and Allah yab'ath man fil qubur. That in the grave, when you die, of course everybody believes that they're going to die. But that's not the end. As a Muslim, it's not the end. Because if it was the end, life wouldn't be worth living. If this is all that's there, is it worth it? If this is all that's life, it's not. Because you have people who are rich, poor, and the rich take advantage of the poor, they have better houses, and that's it after that. And some people harm other people. No. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us, and He created everything based on justice. So believing the hereafter strengthens you and makes you feel, makes you happy, because everyone yearns for justice. Then in the end, there's going to be justice. Yawm al-Qiyamah. And that's the day, Maliki Yawm al-Din. That's the day in which you'll be raised up again, and everybody will stand accountable before the Lord of the universe. So the first thing is, we believe that it will happen. We believe that it will happen. The second aspect, al-Iman bi kulli ma dhakarahu Allah fi kitabihi wa ma sahha 'ala an-nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mimma yakunu fi dhalika al-yawm al-akhir. And so the second thing that we believe is we believe the details also. Everything that's going to happen in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and whatever is authentic from the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so we believe that, of course, we will come back, and we have different many verses in the Quran that speak about the hereafter. Of course, one of the most often repeated topics in the Quran is the hereafter, and is the Day of Judgment. And so we as Muslims, you know, when we read some of these verses, we have to realize that this is exactly what's going to happen. This is exactly what's going to happen. Like one of the things right now, one of the, most people are, like, a lot of people are posting on social media and so forth, where they're posting a lot of pictures and videos of Mecca right now, Mecca and Medina. What's different between what's different between Mecca and Medina right now? What's different than before? Anybody know something?
Green, the weather.
The weather, right? The weather. Greenery. Yeah, the greenery, all that green, all the trees, all the rivers and so forth. A lot of people are posting that. Why are they posting that? They're posting that because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, over 1400 years ago, he said, when it's near the Day of Judgment, سَتْعُودَ جَزِيرَةُ الْعَرَبِ مُرُوجَ وَأَنْهَارَ. So the Arabian Peninsula will return back to having pastures, meadows, and rivers. Rivers. And you know the rivers? In Arabia before, it was a land of lusciousness, rivers and so forth. And it was full of trees and forests and rivers. And before the Day of Judgment comes, it will return back to being that way. Right? It will return back to being that way. Now we see some of this right now. The companions, did they see that?
No.
They never saw it. Did they believe it?
Yes.
They believe it. We have been told, and then we see it with our very own eyes. Like, these are some of the signs of the Day of Judgment. And that's why, what's next? What's the Prophet going to say? What is Jibreel going to ask next?
Qadr.
After al-Iman bil-Qadr khayrihi wa sharrihi, what does he ask? He asks about the Day of Judgment. Right? The sign, the hour. Why? Why? Because if these things are going to happen and you're going to see it, that means everything else in the Quran that's mentioned that hasn't happened yet is going to happen, just like the things that you see right now. So, are the people entering Jannah, the people entering the hellfire, the suffering of the people in the hellfire, and the excuses that the people in the hellfire make, all of that is the truth. Why? What are the signs? Everything that the Prophet ﷺ told us is happening. It's happening. Who is able to tell us that? To tell us something that's so detailed to the point where, look at what is the Prophet ﷺ saying? One of the signs of the Day of Judgment is that these same people who are barefooted, right, poor, destitute, they're going to compete in building tall buildings, right? They're going to truly compete in tall buildings. First competition, Dubai. Right now, why does Saudi Arabia want to make it like Dubai?
Competition.
Right now, right? Why is everything changing? They're looking over there. Look at these tall buildings over there. We're going to do the exact same thing. Right? And so everything is changing. They're imitating, they're competing with each other. Qatar is competing also. And when they compete, they compete. And the next thing, all of these Arab countries, before they didn't have any. My uncle, when he went to, you know, I told you guys about him yesterday, right?
Yeah.
He said when he was in Mecca.
What?
When he went in Mecca, when he was studying in Mecca, the Arabs, the people of Mecca and Medina, he said, we students, foreign students, we would give sadaqah and food to them. They were so poor. Many of them had nothing. Many of these Bedouins, they hardly had anything. We would, and the pilgrims, when they would come, they would give sadaqah to the people of Mecca and Medina, extremely poor. So much so that I remember somebody that I know, he said they were going around. They said, here, please, if you just for like 20 riyals or something, at that time, I forgot, it was 20, you become a Saudi citizen. Sign up so you can get a passport, be a Saudi citizen. They're like trying to get people to to get the passport, Saudi passport. Right? Now, if you're born, that was those days, right? They were like, please, please, go ahead. Nobody like, why would I want, what am I gonna do with the Saudi passport? Something like less than $20 for us, like right now, less than $20, you can get a Saudi passport. Now you can't even buy it. You can't get it. Maybe if you're a really good soccer player. Maybe. If you want to, maybe. But otherwise, even if your parents, if you didn't get it those days, and they were telling me, said, in those days, they were coming to us and asking if you want to be Saudi or not. And some of us took, very few people took it. They're like, what am I going to do? Right? They were very poor, so much so that he said, I used to have money sent from my uncle, you say, from my grandfather. And he said, we used to give them sadaqa. We used to give the Saudis charity and sadaqa, right? Because they were so poor. And now, those same people who didn't have anything, like the people in Dubai, they used to, what was their economy based? They used to dig, they used to go into the water looking for pearls so they can sell pearls. That's where they would go. That's how they would make just a few just to survive. Extremely poor. And now everybody's competing to build tall buildings. Who told us that?
The Prophet
sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us that. So those same people. And we are seeing it. And so what does that mean? That means whatever he told us, that we're seeing, then everything else that he told us that we haven't seen is going to happen. Also, the Dajjal will come, the greatest trial and tribulation, and Prophet Isa will return. We believe with true yaqeen, certainty. We believe with true yaqeen, true certainty that these things will happen, and so believing in the unseen and believing in the Day of Judgment. See, all of these things, all of the things that we're talking about is connected to it. So what does it mean to believe in the Day of Judgment? We said we believe in the details that are mentioned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, what's the evidence? What's the evidence? What's the proof? Allah says, كَمَا بَدَأْنَا أَوَّلَ خَلْقٍ نُعِيدُ. Just like we created the first of creation, right? From nothing, we will bring them back. Just like from the beginning, we were nothing. There's not a single person on this earth that says, I created myself. Or, I chose these eyes, I chose this hair. You didn't choose anything. Allah created you from nothing. You were non-existent. And not only were you non-existent before, like right now you're so much in need of so many things. And then when you die, is it easier to create from nothing or to bring from something that was already created? Of course, if you created something already, to bring forth again, it's easier. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just like he created us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also will raise us back. And so we believe that it will happen, and we also believe in the details in the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The third aspect of belief in the Day of Judgment is what? So these are some other things. So we have to believe in also the detail in terms of like certain things that will happen. And all of these things are mandatory. You understand? So number one is, of course, believe in Al-Hawd. What is Al-Hawd? Hawd is where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is. And when the people are gathered, there's going to be a pond or body of water where people will drink. And once you drink from that, you will never be thirsty again. That's called Al-Hawl. And also the next, Al-Shafa'ah. We also believe in the intercession. intercession of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we mentioned some of this already. And we also believe in as-sirat. What is sirat? As-sirat is the bridge over Jahannam that everyone has to cross. Everyone has to cross. And that's called as-sirat. And then the details of the sirat, of course, but we believe in the sirat. And we believe in al-jannah, paradise. When we believe an-nar, the hellfire. And we believe, of course, that Jannah will be a place of all pleasantries and the reward for the believers, and the hellfire will be a place of punishment and hardship for the disbelievers. And so when we say we believe in the hereafter, we have to believe in all of these aspects also, every single one of these details. Because there are some people who, you know, there are some people who don't believe. They say that they're Muslims. There are a group of deviant Muslims who believe. They say, yeah, there isn't a day of judgment. There isn't the hereafter. Then why did the prophets and messengers mention all of this? And said they only came to mention all of this to scare us so that we do good. like it's not real. It's like what? Who do they think we are? Like children believe in Santa Claus? See, so they're saying like, no, we're just, you know how you get children to be good, right? You lie to them. So the prophets and messengers lied to us. So they believe that, because they don't believe in the hereafter. They can't believe in the hereafter. Then why, what's all this? So no, they're just telling this so that we will be good. You know, like Santa Claus, what do you think they believe in Santa Claus? What do they say? He knows when you've been good or bad. Like, yeah, really? Santa Claus, he knows if it, so you better be good, right? So you better be good. So they're even Santa Claus, he says, okay. So what are they doing? They're lying. The religion is, the child is raised up belief with the belief in lies from the very beginning. And so we don't believe whatever is told to us and whatever we tell our children, we don't lie to them. We don't lie to them. Whatever it is, it's the truth. It's not like, you know, believing in Santa Claus. People tell them, oh, you better believe in Santa Claus, you know, you better be good. So if you tell them to be good, just tell them to be good because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward you, right? But the thing is, even when you're giving gifts, when they're giving gifts to their children, they say Santa Claus is coming, right? So the first experience of a child, what does he experience? He experiences lies. And that's why a lot of these Christians, they don't believe in their religion anymore. Like, how can you believe in something that when you grow up from the very beginning, you're lied to? You're told to believe in Santa Claus. You're told to believe in the tooth fairy. You're told to believe in all. So in Islam, we don't lie to our children just to get them to do something, to believe. And so, especially if it's not true. So when we believe in the hereafter, there are different aspects of this belief, inshallah. And of course, there's all of this, all of these things that we speak about in terms of the belief in the hereafter. Every aspect of this, inshallah, we'll elaborate more later on when it comes to it. But right now, inshallah, I just wanted to mention. When we say we believe in the hereafter, what does it entail? And so the other thing that's entailed, so we said the third thing was to believe in some of the aspects about the hereafter, like the sirat, the shafa'ah, and the hellfire and paradise. The fourth thing is al-iman bi na'im al-qabr wa 'adhabihi. To believe that in the grave you have your grave will either be a garden amongst the garden of paradise, and or one of the pits of the hellfire, wal'iyadhu billah. So why do we believe these things? Because it's in the Quran and the Sunnah. So when we say believe in the hereafter, it's everything that's after death, everything that's after a person dies. And this is, of course, the belief in the punishment in the grave and the life in the grave, the barzakh, is something that all the scholars agreed upon, ijma, there's a consensus, that life doesn't end when you die. Life of this in this world ends, but you go to the next world, which is the barzakh. And so there are some people, when we say we believe in the hereafter, as I mentioned, there are some people who don't believe in the hereafter, and some people who, you know, they say they believe in the hereafter, like for example Christians, right, or Jews. Many of them, they say that they believe in the hereafter, but there's always this doubt. They're never sure. They're always saying, well, if it can, they just hope that it's true. They just hope that it's true. Many of them don't believe in terms of yaqeen. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the people of this dunya. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about ashab al-jannatain. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and I will mention this because this is connected to the hereafter and how the disbelievers believe in the hereafter. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَضْرِبْ لَهُمْ مَثَلَ الرَّجُلَيْنِ جَعَلْنَا لِأَحَدِهِمَا جَنَّتَيْنِ مِنْ أَعْنَابٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَضْرِبْ لَهُمْ, give them an example. مَثَلَ الرَّجُلَيْنِ, the example in the story of the two people. جَعَلْنَا لِأَحَدِهِمَا جَنَّتَيْنِ, one we gave two gardens. We gave two gardens. Min a'nab, of grapes. Garden of grapes. Wa hafafnahuma binakhl wa ja'alna baynahuma zar'a. And we surrounded it with date palms. And between this garden, we also provided him with zar'a. What is zar'a? Zar is anything that you plant for, in, you know, like these are three different types that Allah mentions. Which means what? This is like the sort of like the Arabian dream. You know, like in America, you have the American dream with picket fences, a house in the suburb with picket fences, and that's the dunya. What was the dunya for the people of Arabia? What were they thinking about? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions here this. Is what people aspire and dream about in Arabia. To have what? وَضْرِبْ لَهُمْ مَثَلَ الرَّجُلَيْنِ جَعَلْنَا لِأَحَدِهِمَا جَنَّتَيْنِ. Not just one. جَنَّتَيْنِ. Two orchards or two gardens. One min a'nab. What is a'nab? You have all the grapes, and of course this is like, you know, with grapes and so forth, it's like one of the, in the old days, in antiquity, you know, in Greece and so forth, that's like a sign of what? Sign of wealth. If you see the kings of before, and you know, the emperors of Greece and kings of Persia, and Egypt, and Rome, what did they have? What was when they have these pictures of them? Or what are they doing? They're reclining, and what are they bringing to them? Wine and what? Grapes. There's a servant that's holding grapes, like, and he's like, here, master. And he gives him the grape. Like, that's it, right? You have the grapes, okay? That's like a sign of wealth. And so you have gardens, two gardens, right, of grape. وَحَفَفْنَهُمَا بِنَخْلٍ. And it is surrounded by what? Date palms. Wine. What's the benefit of these date palms that surround you? Beauty, but also shade. Shade, right? If you have just the grapes, where are you going to go? Where are you going to go? You can't hide anywhere. But if you have those date palms just sitting down, your servant comes to you, gives you these grapes, you're sitting under the shade, and there's the rivers flowing. Like, that's the Arabian dream. That's the life. The life of this dunya. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَجَعَلْنَا بَيْنَهُمَا زَرْعًا. And between this also, there's zar. Zar is what? When you have anything that, you know, you have staple food, right? Like for example, wheat, rice, or whatever you grow that needs water. But there, the water, you have this two gardens, and in between it, there's running water. That's the most expensive garden, because you don't have to bring water. The water is there, all you can use at any time. You don't have to hire someone to bring water. It's right there for you. It's like it's the perfect place, the perfect type of garden. You can just sit and you can sell. This is a staple food. This is where you make money from. The main staple food, and you have the extra, like the luxury item also. And then you have the beauty of the nakhl, all the date palms surrounding you with the shade and with the dates also. And not only that, Allah says, كِلْتَ الْجَنَّتَيْنِ آتَتْ أُكُلَهَا وَلَمْ تَظْلِمْ مِنْهُ شَيْئًا. These two gardens, every year they brought forth the harvest. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, وَلَمْ تَظْلِمْ مِنْهُ شَيْئًا. Like, never did we fail. وَفَجَّرْنَا خِلَالَهُمَا نَهْرًا. And between them, this running water. You know, sometimes you might have a pond, it might run out. No, this is all water. And also, what's that running water? It's so beautiful. You're sitting there and you can enjoy. This is the dunya. This is the dunya. And so, and then Allah says, وَكَانَ لَهُ ثَمَرٌ. Thamar is what? Thamarun is like fruits, right? But here the scholars have mentioned that. And he has other wealth also. He has this and he has other wealth also. And فَقَالَ لِصَاحِبِهِ. But what kind of person is he? Person of the dunya. فَقَالَ لِصَاحِبِهِ وَهُوَ يُحَاوِرُهُ. And he's speaking to his friend, his buddy, who's a Muslim. أَنَا أَكْثَرُ مِنْكَ مَالًا وَأَعَزُّ نَفَرًا. I have more wealth than you, and I have a bigger or larger or greater entourage. Like slaves, workers, employees, people helping out, maids, like wherever you go, people serve you, right? You have a whole bunch of people. You know, when the kings and royalty and the people who are rich, what do they have? They have an entourage of people, right? An entourage of people. You see all these kings when they go, they go by themselves. What else do they have? Everything else goes with them also. They have everything. So this person has everything. But he has one thing that's missing. He has everything of this world. وَدَخَلَ جَنَّتَهُ وَهُوَ ظَالِمٌ لِنَفْسِهِ. But when he enters his jannah, his garden, he's oppressive, he wrongs himself. قَالَ مَا أَظُنُّ أَن تَبِيدَ هَذِهِ أَبَدًا. He says, مَا أَظُنُّ, like, this is not going to end for me. It's, you know, مَا أَظُنُّ أَن تَبِيدَ هَذِهِ أَبَدًا. So what does he think? He thinks he's going to live forever. Those people, they think they're going to live forever. Do they really think that they're going to live forever? No. But they hope. That's they wish. They want to live forever. مَا أَظُنُّ أَن تَبِيدَ هَذِهِ أَبَدًا. This will never end. وَمَا أَظُنُّ سَاعَةَ قَائِمًا. وَمَا أَظُنُّ سَاعَةً. And I don't perceive that the hour will come. I don't think that the hour will come also. وَلَئِنْ رُدِدْتُ إِلَىٰ رَبِّي لَأَجِدَنَّ خَيْرًا مِنْهَا مُنْقَلَبًا. But listen to what he says here. He says, the hour is not coming. He's drunk in this dunya. And he says, if the hour did occur, okay, you're talking about the hereafter? And there's Jannah and paradise? Yeah, if there was a paradise and the hellfire afterwards, وَلَئِنْ رُدِدْتُ إِلَىٰ رَبِّي. If I'm returned to my Lord, لَأَجِدَنَّ خَيْرًا مِنْهَا مُنْقَلَبًا. I would get more than better than this if in the hereafter also. What's his proof? What's his evidence?
Just comparing what you have.
Yeah, he says, if I got this in this world, his evidence is, if I have this in this world, that means in the hereafter I will have better. Is he certain? Why? Allah says, وَلَئِنْ رُدِدْتُ. He said, if, I don't believe it, but even if I were to go, even if it's true, I would get better than this. Even if it's true, I would get better than this. So nobody can deny death, but they're hoping that in the hereafter they will get better than what they have. They think that just because Allah gives you this world, that you're going to get the next also. That's his evidence, that's his proof. Right? And Allah says, وَدَخَلَ جَنَّتَهُ وَهُوَ ظَالِمٌ لِنَفْسِهِ, that he is oppressive to himself, he has wronged himself in this belief. He doesn't believe in the hereafter. He says, I don't believe in the hereafter. But if there was, I would still be better than you. I would still have more than you. If there is Allah, okay, and Allah gave me this in this world, that means Allah loves me. That's what they think. That's what they hope. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that no, that's not the case. No, that's not the case. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, then his friend, who's a Muslim here, says, قَالَ لَهُ صَاحِبُهُ وَهُوَ يُحَاوِرُهُ. The one, his friend, his companion, who is a Muslim, he is conversing with him, and he says, أَكَفَرْتَ بِالَّذِي خَلَقَكَ مِن تُرَابٍ. You have rejected. How can you deny the one who created you from dust? أَكَفَرْتَ بِالَّذِي خَلَقَكَ مِن تُرَابٍ. Who did Allah create all of us from turab? No. Al-asl, our origin is, yes, from Adam alayhi salam, right? And then thumma min nutfa. Then you came from a nutfa, sperm drop, just a sperm drop. Thumma sawaka rajula. Then he made you a man. He fashioned you as a person like this. How can you reject such a thing? How can you not believe in Allah? How can you not believe in the hereafter? And then he says, لَكِنَّهُ اللَّهُ رَبِّي. But nay, for me, Allah is my Lord. He is the one that takes care of me. وَلَا أُشْرِكُ بِرَبِّي أَحَدًا. And I will not associate in worship with Allah anything. I will not associate and take partners with Allah or anything. And then he says, وَلَوْلَا إِذْ دَخَلْتَ جَنَّتَكَ قُلْتَ مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ. Now what you should have done is this. Yeah, you have all this, the blessing of this world. What you should do is when you enter, you saying that, you know, you saying that you have this forever and it's because of you. That's why we say, you know, we say Alhamdulillah. We say Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. And we say Alhamdulillah every time something happens, everything that happens to us, we say Alhamdulillah. Why? Because a non-believer, a Muslim, attributes everything to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Says Alhamdulillah. A disbeliever says what? Says it was because of me. The reason why I have this is because I work hard. I went to school. I graduated. It was my own, I did this. You know, I was smart. It was me. So does he say Alhamdulillah? He says no. Those who don't believe in Allah, those who don't believe in the hereafter, what did they say? It's me. It's because of this. Because I did it. I made it. I was successful. I graduated. I put in the time. I put in the effort. I did this and I did that. Instead of saying Alhamdulillah for everything, they attribute everything else to, they attribute everything that they have to something else. And that's why he says, لَكِنَّهُ اللَّهُ رَبِّي. But me, I believe that Allah is the one who takes care of me. Rabb, he's given me everything. وَلَا أُشْرِكُ بِرَبِّي أَحَدًا. And I don't associate anything with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because those who don't believe in Allah, they attribute everything else to everything else besides Allah. So those who believe in Buddha, they attribute it to the statue of Buddha, besides Allah. And then some people, they say that, you know, they believe in other things. Some people believe in good luck, or a lucky number. Some people believe in, you know, in other things that besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they attribute everything else. Even though Allah gave it to them, they're saying that it's something else. It's not Allah. They never think that it, and they don't realize that it's Allah who is providing for everything for them. And so he says, لَوْ وَلَوْلَا إِذْ دَخَلْتَ جَنَّتَكَ قُلْتَ مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ. Say, Masha Allah. When you enter, if you only have to enter, say, Masha Allah. Allah
It's Allah who gave me this. No one else. Allah is the one who gave you this. He gave you this. And no one else. لا قوة إلا بالله. There is no strength except in Allah. And then he says, إن تراني أنا أقل منك مالا وولدا. As you can see, I have less wealth than you, but and also children. But you know what? My faith and iman, that's what gives me strength. فَعَسَى رَبِّي أَن يُؤْتِيَنِي خَيْرًا مِّن جَنَّتِكَ. You know, everything that you have here, I hope that Allah will give me better. Does he say Allah will give me? No, I hope if I continue, if I'm a good Muslim, I hope that Allah will give me better than what you have. Will give me better than what you have. وَيُرَسِلَ عَلَيْهَا حُسْبَانًا مِّنَ السَّمَاءِ. And then if you continue like this, maybe, so you say asa here is also a litaraji or lil ishfaq. That means you hope this happens or you're afraid that something will happen. It has these two meanings. So it could mean that if you continue like this, I'm afraid that Allah will destroy it one day. Because if Allah can give you all of this, He can also take it all away. And eventually Allah will take everything away. When you die, you won't be able to take any of that with you, right? So he says, وَيُرْسِلَ عَلَيْهَا حُسْبَانًا مِنَ السَّمَاءِ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send حُسْبَانًا. حُسْبَانًا is a punishment as a result of your, you know, of your actions. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is holding you accountable, because what you did, maybe in this life, before even the hereafter, maybe Allah will send you a sign. And you know, if Allah sends you a sign in this life, it's better than in the hereafter when it's too late. Right? So maybe he's making dua, some discussing, he's making dua like, I hope Allah, you know, wakes you up. So that you become, so you know the truth, that you see the truth. So, وَيُرْسِلَ عَلَيْهَا حُسْبَانًا مِنَ السَّمَاءِ فَتُصْبِحَ صَعِيدًا زَلَقًا. And then all of this will be just an open plain. That means nothing. A slippery plain. There's nothing. All of this will be gone if Allah takes it away one day. أَوْ يُصْبِحَ مَاؤُهَا غَوْرًا فَلَنْ تَسْتَطِيعَ لَهُ طَلَبًا. Or if Allah wants, so wills, He can make the earth swallow all this up, and then all the, you know, and then you won't be able to find any help. You can call, you can do whatever you want, but all of that will disappear, and all of it will be gone. So in 1 hour, in 1 moment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can make everything go away. Everything that you work for will be gone. Your house, your garden, your cars, everything. Can that happen? Anytime. An earthquake comes, everything changes. Yeah. And if war, during times of war, if a nuclear bomb strikes, there's nothing left. There's nothing left. You meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala immediately.
Okay,
and so what are you gonna do? So, but here, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأُحِيطَ بِثَمَرِهِ فَأَصْبَحَ يُقَلِّبُ كَفَّيْهِ عَلَى مَا أَنْفَقَ فِيهَا. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends a calamity that envelops everything that he has. أُحِيطَ بِثَمَرِهِ, all his wealth. That destroys all his wealth. فَأَصْبَحَ يُقَلِّبُ كَفَّيْهِ عَلَى مَا أَنْفَقَ. Now he's regretful. He's lost everything that so much time and everything that he spent to build this up. Now it's all gone. وَهِيَ خَاوِيَةٌ عَلَىٰ عُرُوشِهَا. And you know those the trestles on with the grapes and so forth, all upside down, broken up. There's nothing left of that. Nothing left of that. And then he sees all of that. وَيَقُولُ يَا لَيْتَنِي لَمْ أُشْرِكْ بِرَبِّي أَحَدًا. Woe to me if only I did not associate with Allah anything. If only I didn't associate with Allah. That means if only I had attributed all of this to Allah and was thankful to Allah for it. Instead of saying that this person or that because of this, because of that, besides Allah. No. Then when something like this happens, sometimes you realize. And that's why a calamity occurs. And then you feel how weak you are. And then you return to Allah. And that's why everyone, and I'll end it with this, everyone who's in times of calamity, in times of hardship, they return to Allah. They call upon Allah. Whether they're Muslim or non-Muslim. Whether they're Muslims or non-Muslims.
in times of hardship, when you think that this is the end, who do you call? Even if you think you don't believe in God, naturally your heart will go up and you're asking for a higher being. And I think I shared the story already one time. I was on a flight from New York to Seattle. I was coming back from Saudi, from Medina, for the summer. And there was, in the summer sometimes there's like a lot of thunderstorms, right? And so there was sometimes in certain areas there's like big turbulence. And I've never been on an airplane that was so much turbulence, right? To the point where sometimes it was going like this and it went down so much, it felt like you were in a roller coaster. And so the person next to me, you know, I was memorizing some hadith, and the person next to me was like talking to me, right? And we were talking about, you know, about he was actually asking me, said what I was reading, and I told him I was a Muslim. And so, and he just, from what I, you know, from our conversation, I knew that he didn't believe in God. He says, "Yeah, I don't believe in a higher being. I mean, I don't believe in God. Like, I don't believe in God." So he says he doesn't believe in God, right? So as soon as he's on the plane next to me, and when all this happened, and then when it went down, the plane just like this. I don't know what happened, but it's just. And everybody, and you can see everyone, you know, everyone's yelling and screaming, yelling right there. And he goes, "Oh my God." He says he doesn't believe in God. Oh my God. Right? Immediately. He says he doesn't believe in God, but you can see he's looking up. He's looking up and he's calling God. He's calling God without even realizing it. And after everything calmed, I said, "I thought you said you didn't believe in God. Remember when that thing happened? I heard you calling God. I heard in my ears." He says, I don't believe in God, but I don't, for some reason, like, you know, when that," I said, what were you thinking?" He says, "I was thinking about my family. If I'm going to see my family again, if this, you know, like, because you, it was so scary that you can hear the cracking. For some reason, you know, it was so windy and so turbulence was so big. You hear you look at the wings and you feel like it might break apart even. And of course they're made to, you know, move, right? But you're scared." And he was afraid. And when he went down, he called upon God. Where did that come from? You know where that came
from?
It's from the fitrah. Everybody believes in God. So when you, those who don't believe in God, they're just covering that up. The belief in God and the belief in the hereafter, they're just lying to themselves. Why? Because they don't want to change their lifestyle. Do you understand? And that's why the rich people, usually the people who accept Islam more easily, are the poor and the weak. The rich people are like, "Hey, this is my life. I got everything I want, everything that I need. You know, I don't, this is," and they wish that this was forever, right? And they think that this is it. Because, you know, they have more than other people. You know, they have more wealth than other people. They have more prestige. They're more popular, more famous, and so forth than other people. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this surah speaks about the people's belief in the hereafter. And because there are some, the people of the dunya, they don't want to believe in the hereafter. Why don't they want to believe in the hereafter? They don't want to believe in hereafter because they think that this dunya here, whatever they have, is it. And they wish that this was it only. And because they don't know. And even though they, you know, they might think that, oh, you know, this dunya has made them forget. And that has made them forget the dunya. That's why forget the hereafter. And that's why Allah says, Al-haakum at-takathur. Alhaakum. What is alha? Alha means to make you forget. Alhaakum at-takathur. Your amassing of wealth have made you forget. Made you forget what? Forget Allah, forget the hereafter, forget death, forget the punishment in the grave, and forget the hereafter. Alhaakum at-takathur. Hatta zurtumul maqabir. Until you visit the grave. In other words, until death comes to you. Indeed, at that moment in time, you will know. You will know. ثُمَّ كَلَّ سَوْفَ تَعْلَمُونَ And at that time, you will surely know. كَلَّا لَوْ تَعْلَمُونَ عِلْمَ الْيَقِينَ. Surely you will know with certainty on that day. Right now you're in doubt. Is there a hereafter, after death? Is there a life after? No, on that day you know for sure. You'll know for sure. لَتَرَوُنَّ الْجَحِيمِ. You will see Jahannam. You will see the hellfire. And where is this? In the grave. Allah will show the disbelievers hellfire in the grave. They will see. And when they see, it's Aynul Yaqeen. What is Aynul Yaqeen? They see with their very own eyes. And that's why when death comes to you, when your soul reaches your throat, that's the end of Tawbah. Why is that the end of Tawbah? Anybody know? Because you see the angels already. Mm-hmm. Even if you don't want to believe, you've already seen. It's not about believing the unseen anymore. Now you've seen it. So you can't say it doesn't. It's not there. No, you've seen it now. You can, okay, I believe. That's not belief. That's not iman. That's not faith. You know, we warned you already about this, and you said you didn't believe it. Now you see it. Okay, I believe. Too late.
Like Fir'aun.
It's too late. Like Fir'aun when death came to him. It's too late. All those times you had, and you said you didn't believe, and now you say you believe. Of course, everyone will believe. Every Christian, every Jew, every non-Muslim, in the time of death, they will realize. You know what they realize? That the Muslims were right all along. That the only religion that was a true religion is Islam. On that day, but it's too late. It's too late. If those people were able to come back, the first thing that they would tell their family is to be Muslim. Everyone, all the non-Muslims. Because at the time of death, then they know, hey, you know, the Muslims were right all along. Because you know why? Because what's the first name that they hear? Who's your Lord? And who is this man that was sent to you, Muhammad? Right, who was it? The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Who are the Muslims? Who did the Muslims believe?
Muhammad.
The Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And then they realize, you know what? The Muslims are right all along, this whole time. But that's too late. It's too late. So when they believe in the unseen, subhanallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the Quran. That's why when you read the Quran, just know that everything that's going to happen in the Quran, that's mentioned in the Quran, it's going to happen. It's true. It's true because everything that the Prophet ﷺ mentioned and promised, he said about the signs of the day that's going to happen, it's happening right now. That means everything else also will happen exactly the way that is mentioned in the Quran and the way that the Prophet ﷺ mentioned it. And so we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the best of this world and hereafter. And I'll open up the